Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. Welcome to Thanksgiving week here at EMU. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics, joined once again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer, on a short week in terms of classes. And classes end on Tuesday of this week, and we'll be into the Thanksgiving break. Some people have talked about whether or not we should have fall break and then Thanksgiving break, and then you turn right around and come back and have all of that. But I know JMU doesn't have a fall break. They make it a full weekend here. Ours is at Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here, and then back into action there. So light schedule as we move into Thanksgiving and then on into Christmas. Certainly you start getting towards the final exams, and there's not going to be much going on there, but still plenty of action this past weekend. Still trying to get our feet underground and get rolling with the winter season, ending to the cross country as well. So we got a number of highlights we're going to cover. And then if I feel like it, I think I might make a comment about some issue going on in sports. Something. We'll see about that. Okay. So James, why don't you update us over the weekend schedule we just finished up.
Well, a big highlight, let's start with the National Cross Country Championships on Saturday, as EMU sent one woman's runner there. We talked about that plenty. Hannah Chapel-Dick went, and she had a pretty solid meet there. She's had better races. She's had worse races. And I think I saw something from Jason Lukowitz, the coach, that the national championships are a pretty big deal, not just the event itself, but just everything going on with it. There's a banquet, there's, you know, slideshows, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And he said that some of that kind of, she got kind of caught up in that, and that can affect you a little bit. And it seemed like Hannah got a little caught up in that, and so maybe didn't have the best race that she could have had. But either way, she got a great experience being there. She is the first EMU cross-country woman to qualify since 2002, since recently inducted Hall of Honor member Andrea Good-Lehman went. So it's very exciting that she got to go. She finished 221st out of 280 participants, and those numbers are always deceiving to me. I know a couple years ago when Richie Bico went on the men's side, it was my first exposure to a national cross country meet, and the times that they run doesn't sound terrible, but then you see what position they got, and you're like, how did they finish 200th when they usually finish fifth? And you've got the best runners from the nation there. You also have 280 people running a race at one time.
Well, the one thing I noticed about that, too, I took time to watch that one. I also watched the Division I race as well. And one thing I noticed about the Division III, when you talk about sort of the hoopla and the event of it, I mean, just for the little bit that I could see, you had really – crazy rabid fans out there in 15 degree weather, and they got nothing but shorts on.
Yeah.
They're waving their flags. So you've got these teams that are in there. Mm-hmm. And so you take a look, and this is not a slam to Bridgewater at all. Bridgewater men win our region, mm-hmm. and they come in next to last. Mm-hmm. Their first runner was like 175th or something like that. Winning score was 84 points. And their first runner was 175 or something like that. It's just, it's unbelievable,
yeah.
Like you say. So I was trying to compare her time mm-hmm. based upon what she's done other times. I think it was about 30 seconds slower than the regional meet, but I don't know how the course was and all of that, and what her spot, what box she was put in, et cetera, with 280 runners.
Right.
So it is really hard to know mm-hmm. until you get a chance to really talk to them. But I think, too, it was – there's such a history with a number of those schools, St. Olaf's and North Central and some others that are there. It's just such a history. I mean, 84 points in a national event is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so when you have that, and then you've got all the fans that are there, they're running around with flags. It's just, it must be an incredible scene. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think maybe that you get caught up in that. Yeah. And I think it was fairly cold and windy, too.
Yeah, and I know the course was a harder one than what the regional meet was. CNU was the regional meet, and that was a relatively flat course, and was a bit easier. The other interesting thing I think of with this national meet with so many runners is it's different to get out and run with that many people next to you the entire time. I think of the couple of times where I happen to have turned on the TV and seen the beginning of a triathlon race or an Ironman, and they always start with swimming. I don't know if you've seen any of those, Dave, but it's just you've got a couple hundred people, within like 200 square feet or something. It's not that bad, but, in the water, and so you've got legs and arms and stuff flying all over the place. And I think it's a little bit similar to the start of a large cross-country race like that. And the other thing is it's 6 kilometers long, and you're that packed, not quite that, but you're that packed the entire race. Hannah finished, there were four runners within the span of 1 second. And this is back at 220th.
Right.
You know, and so she finished second out of those four runners that all crossed within 1 second of each other, and she gets 221st. But so it was just that packed. You could look at every, you know, 220th was a second ahead, and 219th was one more second ahead. It was just runner after runner after runner the whole way.
Well, and if you look at the times, there's plenty that, I mean, they just break it down into tenths of seconds all the way through.
Yeah.
So I understand that. The other thing that would be interesting to talk to Hannah, maybe we have a chance we can do that, is just the mental piece about, whereas maybe you're always in the third of the pack, because mm-hmm. wherever she finished within the region, mm-hmm. so you're there. All of a sudden, you're
way
in the middle of the pack, or at the end of the pack, or as you say, you're staying with this pack the whole time. So once you get in there among the best, and you're the best coming out of the region, so to speak, one of the top ones, one of the top seven runners outside of the teams, mm-hmm. and you're back in the back third of the pack. I'd like to know what that does mentally to them. But either way, a great race in terms of experience and exposure, representing EMU. They had a great trip out there, and certainly nothing to – it's just interesting to see as you notch it up, as you go on up the way it was. And I also took the opportunity to watch the Division I race, men's, which was also fascinating. But, yeah, the nuances of that, sometime we'll have to talk to her about that.
Definitely. The only other events over the weekend – over the last week, was basketball, men's and women's. And interesting week for both teams last week. On the women's side, they freshly get nationally ranked last week, and then they knew it. They were heading up to York, Pennsylvania for a really tough test, and just didn't play well at all. It just seemed like they were a step behind on everything, and came out with a double-digit loss on that one. And then they turn around and play a conference game, and it was at Hollins, and you can always say, well, it's Hollins, not usually one of the top half teams in the conference. But I heard from the Hollins SID, and he said, this is the best I've seen the women play. And he knows our team. He knows basketball. And he says, this is the best I've seen him play. And so they turn right around, and they play really well together. And so I think what we're seeing is a deep team on the women's side. And, yeah, we're still adjusting to a few moving pieces or change pieces or an injury, as the case may be, to Steph Reinheimer. So there's a couple of changes there, but bottom line is they're a very talented team and a very experienced team, and know what it takes to win. So I think we saw that when they just made the switch over a span of a couple of days and came out and played an excellent game last Saturday.
Well, and they are good. They have a few new pieces,
yep.
and they've got to put those people in and figure it out. And again, they've been playing once in a while without Caleb Baltimore at the point, now without Steph. And so if they can find what the different pieces are, but you're absolutely right. Not playing really well, then playing exceptionally well, and I think our men did just the exact opposite.
They kind of did. They got a win at Elizabethtown on a Wednesday and shot very well. The offense was really clicking and scored 94 points. We come home for the ODAC opener, and something just wasn't there when they started, and Lynchburg came out, scored the first 9 points, and Lynchburg never trailed. They led the entire game, and we lost 107 to 87, I think it was, And so it's just one of those nights where the men just started out behind and never got it back. And so I think we're going to see some adjustments for the men too. We've talked about that, but they just have, even though there's, you know, a good handful of upperclassmen starting, even a couple of those juniors are recent transfers and really haven't played in the system with each other. James Williams is coming back from his ankle injury, not at full speed. So there's a lot of moving pieces for the men too. And so we'll need some time to adjust to them. And I think the other thing I'm taking out of the weekend, or at least out of the first couple of weeks of the year, is it's just going to be interesting this entire season with some of the adjustments or changes in emphasis that the officials have made. And that's just the way it is. I don't like to go out and say, you know, the officials did a poor job or whatever, because that's just the way it is. They've made a change in how they're going to call hand checks this year, and that's an adjustment that the players have to make. And Saturday night's men's game was a rough one for me to watch. I would assume that many of the fans thought the same mm-hmm. thing.
Absolutely.
There were 40 fouls in the second half alone, 67 free throws in the second half alone. And so the tempo of the game really changed. I'm really interested to see how this plays out over the whole season. You know, our moniker is the Running Royals. Kirby likes to have us be the Running Royals. It's a little more interesting. How much running can we do if they're going to call a lot more fouls? And it changes the game a little bit.
Well, you just led me right into what I'm going to make the comment about.
All right.
Except I should let everyone know, because of the Thanksgiving week, we are taping this on Monday.
Yes.
So why don't you give us a little, both teams are on the road this week, so give us an upscale of what's happening in the coming days and through the weekend, and then I'll make a comment about your officiating since I've sat in on some of those meetings.
Sure. Both teams playing a road game before the break. On Tuesday, the men are at Ferrum, the women are at Mary Baldwin, and of course, we're hoping the whole week is okay because of the winter weather that might be blowing through. And so they're both playing non-conference road games. I think it'll be a little tougher challenge for the men, but both of them on the road, and both of them come home this weekend. So if you're in the area this weekend, please come over to Yoder Arena. Of course, basically, most, if not all, the students are off campus because it's the Thanksgiving break. So we need a big fan base in there. But there should be a couple of really interesting matchups this weekend. The women are playing Emory and Henry, another ODAC contest, Saturday. Again, Saturday start time is at 3. I don't know if you may have seen it listed at 2 in a couple of places. I originally thought it was 2. It's actually at 3. So please don't come too early because it's going to be kind of boring in the gym until the game actually starts. But 3 o'clock is the Saturday start time. And that's an interesting game. I really think we're going to see that a lot of ODAC women's games are getting a lot more competitive this year. So that should be an interesting matchup. And then the men take on Christopher Newport Sunday night at 7 o'clock. A unique time, Sunday night at 7, but also a very unique opponent. We haven't played CNU much until last year. We added them back to the schedule. Nationally regarded team, very talented. That should be also a very interesting matchup in Yoder Arena Sunday night.
Well, and some people have asked, let me just make a comment about that. Some people have asked about the timing of that one Sunday night at 7 o'clock. There's a variety of reasons for that. First of all, the coach makes the arrangements with the other coach. Typically, the directors of athletics are out of the scheduling piece unless there's some complication that comes up. And I think at least one of the factors was how long could they stay at home before they come back. So, again, maybe a few hours doesn't make a difference, but if you're going to play at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock on a 2, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're probably going to have to bring them back a little bit earlier, maybe on Friday, to give the legs a rest in between there. So that was part of it. Part of it is a negotiation piece as well. And whatever the coaches came up with, I think this was something they agreed upon. I don't know the exact details, whether CNU said, no, we're not going to come that early. But again, part of it was this whole, when do we have to come back? When do we have to get prepared for the game? So that's one of it. Let me make just a comment, James, about the officiating, because that is, and what's interesting to me is you mentioned that game. I don't get to watch a lot of the game in its detail because of the other responsibilities I have, but I know that there was concern on both coaches' parts at the end of the first half that they were letting it go way too much and they were playing football out there.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting. I mean, if you said 40
fouls in the second half.
40 fouls in the second half, which means it's twice as many as the first half. So they did tighten it up, and I know one of the questions that Kirby asked the officials, because I was standing out there in between Kirby and the officials as the first half ended, was, is this the way you're going to do it all year long, or are you going to back off again? Because clearly up until now, it's interesting to note, and I said to you before, I have a difficult time expressing my opinion because I know I could be all wet and I'd rather have conversation with people. But let me just throw a couple of things out. It's interesting to me, all of the talk that is going on at the National Football League about the changes in the rules in the way they're going to protect the quarterbacks. And what's going to be a hit that's not only illegal at that point, but they can also go back and look at it as a fine. Yeah. When I look at that, and then I looked at this year, they clearly are going to – they've said right up front that they're going to have a major emphasis, and this is Division I through Division III. This is not just the ODAC. This is not just it. They're going to try to clean it up, particularly as it relates to hands on the defensive player. So a lot of times you'll see the person with the ball and the defender sort of has an arm out against their – or hand out, sort of touching them to kind of know where they're at and sense where they're moving and things like that. And they've basically said, anytime you get the forearm on the person, we're going to call it. And so the advantage has really gone to the person with the ball, because if they make one move and you just put a hand on them to try to see where they're going or even just to nudge them out of that road, they're going to call it. And we didn't take the time to look, but I know you said something about the fact that you're not sure that we had many times when there was a possession on each one, that every time they had it, it was stopped. Mm-hmm. And as their the Lynchburg coach, Hillary Scott said to me after the game, nobody's going to come watch this stuff if we don't do it differently. The question will be whether or not they will continue it all the way through, and that remains to be seen. But it is interesting for me that it appears that the officials at all levels and seemingly in sports are trying to somehow take control because of the amount. I don't know whether it's because it's the amount of physicality, the amount of injuries, the severity of the injuries. I'm not sure what it is, but it is interesting that we hear so many comments about the play being out of control. Soccer, increasingly number of red cards this year, increasingly number of yellow cards. And so that was discussed at our meeting. How do we get control of this particular piece? So you have that. Now you have the basketball. You had the football. It seems like they want to take control and make it a little bit more to the game and not the physicality of it. And I know that 2 years ago, I would have heard a lot of complaints about how physical the game is getting and how many injuries there are. The professional football, I heard a stat this morning, now I forget it, 200 and or 300 and some injured reserve persons so far this year. Wow. It's like 11 per team is what it turns out to be. And so here we are trying to take it back, and everybody's now complaining about it. But I think there's going to be this continued emphasis as long as this pendulum has swung in the direction of the concussions. My hunch is that the officials are going to hold. Now, I really question whether they can keep it going that long, because I doubt if they like that either.
Oh, I'm sure. Right.
Except it does give them some level of control. Mm-hmm. Where can we find the middle ground? Mm-hmm. Somewhere, and we may have to swing really far to really close it down. And I talked to Kirby today. He said he may have to change his style of defense because that's why they're getting by him. But he said, I watched Division I and I see the exact same thing. So they're trying to get it under control. And I think in the same way the concussion whole thing is pendulum, I think this pendulum is going to go that way. They're going to do it in professional football with the quarterbacks, which is going to make it a passing more of a passing game, because they'll protect the quarterback more, take the defense out of what they can do. They're talking about, well, now I have to think before I just respond. And to some degree, that's where it is in basketball. Yeah. So I think the pendulum's going to swing and they're going to hold on to it. My final comment is to simply say how thankful I am at this particular week, at a time when we do focus upon things that we are thankful for, of the great work that is being done with the young people here at EMU. And I want to thank you for your support as well, those of you who are listening out there, those of you who recognize what it is that we're doing. With all of the ills and all of the evils and all of everything else that's going on that you can read about, that is a problem with sport, it's not that we are totally immune to it, but I feel so good about the staff we currently have at EMU, the student athletes we have, that we are headed in the right direction. We're trying to do things the right way. Do we face some of the same concerns and same issues that everybody does in the world of sports? Absolutely. But to know the quality of staff that we have and what they're trying to do, the young people, I'm just truly, truly blessed to be able to work at a place like this, and would encourage all of you to take opportunity this week to express those same kinds of thanks for the things that you're thankful for. And if you have an opportunity to partner with us in some way, please make sure you continue to tune in. Make sure you continue to remember us in your prayers. You come and visit us. You watch games. You follow what's going on. But I want to express publicly the thanks I have for this institution, for the people that are working here, and the student athletes we work with. So I wish all of you a very wonderful Thanksgiving. May your times together with family be wonderful. May you be safe as well. And we'll be back again next week with some more activities of what has gone on over the weekend, and look ahead to what's ahead. Thanks very much for joining us. Until we meet next week, make it a great week.